The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 520. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, it's time for another installment of the State of Pro Wrestling. And with that, I'm going to be joined by the man behind the pop culture cosmos, fellow podcaster, Gerald Glassford. Gerald and I, at the end of every month, get together and talk about the state of professional wrestling, talking about all the news and rumors that are floating around out there. And this is no different. For this edition, we're going to talk about the WWE and their ticket situation for WrestleMania. We're going to be talking about, did AEW cross the line in their very controversial main event for their last pay-per-view? We're going to talk about, of course, some of our memories and our favorite WrestleManias. And, of course, we'll also run down what we know so far in terms of the matchups for WrestleMania, which is still a little less than a month away. So hopefully we'll see some of these matches that Gerald and I talked about. Because as of right now, it's kind of bland. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to save the rest for the cast. But before you hear my conversation with Gerald, I need to thank a couple of folks and alert you to something that's happening in Ohio that is super cool. So let's start off, first of all, with our sponsor for today's episode. Of course, I'm talking about the new sponsor, Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashions, health and beauty, and lots of other products, then look no further than Courtney 614 Deals. She can be found on all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc. Simply look for Courtney 614 Deals, and that's spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y. And if you pick anything up from Courtney, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast. And now for the cool thing that's happening this weekend in Columbus, Ohio. Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, is going to be going on Saturday and Sunday in Hilliard, Ohio. For those of you that don't know, Hilliard is a western suburb of Columbus. It's going to be at the McCoy Center, as I said, March 28th and 29th. I believe the hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. for Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. There's going to be a host of great independent comic book creators there. You don't want to miss it. If you're in the area, if you're in the state of Ohio, make the trip out, because guess what? It's free admission and free parking. You don't have to pay for that like other comic book conventions. So there you go. Again, check it out. Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. For more details, just go over to backporchcomics.com and you can get all the information right off of the space tab on that website. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me and Gerald Glassford run down all of the news in the world of professional wrestling.
And we're back with another episode of The State of Pro Wrestling right here on the Pop Culture Cosmos, PVD Cast, PC Multiverse, and all that good stuff. It is Gerald Glassford climbing into the ring. I actually like to go over the top rope. I like to intimidate my opponents and say, you know what? I am tall enough to go ahead and stretch the rope down a little bit so I can crawl on over, just like future WWE Hall of Famer Sid Vicious did. There you go, indeed. But along with me is my tag team partner extraordinary, the guy that always looks for the cheap pinfalls, the tight grabbing, the rope grabbing, the
feet on the ropes. Feet on the ropes,
feet on,
too.
Feet on the ropes, whole nine yards. Oh, actually, or you know, on, you push it back on the where the turnbuckle is as well. You know, all that to get leverage. The international object always in hand. It is a good man indeed. It is, of course, my good friend. He is the mastermind behind, of course, Matt Talk, which is actually Matlock Talk, not wrestling talk. I always have to preface it by that. And then also as well, of course, the world famous PVD cast. It is, of course, my good friend, John Orlando. What's up, John?
Oh, not much. I'm glad to be back. I've been looking forward to talking about all the news that's worth reporting in the world of professional wrestling. And it's always great to do it right here with you on the State of Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely, my friend. Great time. Heading into WrestleMania season, the road to WrestleMania. John and I have gotten in the car like they do, you know, after a long show, they go on the road, you know, heading to the next stop. But we're on the road to WrestleMania right now. John and I, vroom, 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 heading out to Las Vegas. I actually might still think about getting Las Vegas tickets here as far as the WrestleMania tickets, because they are throwing discounts right and left. They recently had a 31%er for 316. They threw out a 25%er yesterday. They're desperate to try and get the Allegiant Stadium filled up for both days. So it's interesting. So I'm not counting my chances out just yet at getting a nice cheap or comp ticket, because I don't want to spend $400 now. It's now went from $800 for both nights to now about $450-$500 right now for both nights. So I think, well, plus my daughter, one of my oldest daughters, is now a big Liv Morgan fan, so I have to now seriously consider putting out the cash as well. So we'll see. I'll think about it, I'll say. But maybe just, you know, go to buy the WWE World again, or I'll think of something. It's a long week of WrestleMania week. There's a ton of independent shows. There's a ton of meetings, ton of performances, ton of matches, ton of cards, ton of interviews, ton of parties, specials. Las Vegas is going to have an overwhelming number of things going on, even for Las Vegas on WrestleMania week, John.
Yeah, you know, I was doing some research about the ticket sales, and it seems like, if I remember correctly here from my notes, night one's got about 37,000 tickets sold. Night two has about 38,700-ish sold. That's not, because you can correct me if I'm wrong, Allegiant Stadium is 65,000. That's max capacity.
Actually, well, I think that's what they want to paper it off to. It actually is an 80,000 plus seat stadium. I don't know how much I think they paper it off, or because of the staging. But now, although now you can actually buy tickets on top of the stage, it was announced last week, just to let you know as well. It depends on how much they close off due to the staging and whatnot. So, but it is, I think 65, I think, is the capacity for WWE events. But that's just trying to memorize from last year. But the stadium itself is 80,000. If for, like, let's say Raiders games or UNLV football games or whatnot. But yeah, that's what the total capacity amount. Or I'm coming because BTS is going to be there, and they just sell out. They don't have any of those WWE problems. They just boom, 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 sell out. Bruno Mars, boom, boom, boom. He's selling his time there as well. So I think, again, it is, you can say it's based off of the tourism and where we're at with the climate and the economy or whatnot. I think you can get away with saying that all you want. But when BTS can go into the same stadium multiple times, John, more than just the 2 day at WrestleMania, they've got 4 or 5 shows that they've already sold out. When they've got Bruno Mars for multiple days as well in the stadium, it's so hard to argue right now. I think it's like right now what we're seeing is the ebbs and flows of the product. Mm-hmm. And it's just a determination right now that the product is just not as fresh as you would like it to be.
And there shouldn't be that reason. I mean, we should have, they have plenty of talented individuals that they could build great storylines around and get that interest coming to Allegiant Stadium. I mean, it's getting to a point now where, you know, as I was doing research for today, the rumors are The Rock might show up for a quick appearance. Cena might show up for a quick appearance.
Tom Brady might be. Oh, it's so cute. WWE is so cute. But Tom Brady might be talking. Well, he owns a piece of the Raiders, so it's not that hard to go ahead and reach out to him. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's getting to be like with boxing in the early days of UFC, they would plant famous people in the crowd and constantly plug them. Well, now we're getting to a point now where in the WWE, only the rich people are going to be able to buy tickets, not actual fans. So there's got to be something done here with this this idea of raising this ticket prices so high that the average family can't afford it. There's got to be something. And we're seeing it right here at WrestleMania. I mean, Elimination Chamber, they still had some empty seats in Chicago, and that's a big town. That's a big wrestling town. Like, for years, it's been that way. For decades, not even years, decades. It's been a hot wrestling city, and WWE Elimination Chamber couldn't sell that out.
And with AEW talking about All In London, where I think you and I already know what's going to happen with All In. It's going to come down to Will Ospreay, if he stays upright, because he came back recently. You know, and obviously it's geared towards him. We've talked about this for years now, where it's just got to happen where Will Ospreay beats MJF for the world title in London. You know, it's not going to get any better than that for alignment, all that. But even if that's the case, how many tickets will sell there in London? What is the product like for professional wrestling? How much people are willing to spend on pro wrestling as a whole? I know Mexico, they're still, CMLL is still experiencing really great numbers. They're still experiencing sellouts, in AAA, because they're still pricing those affordably. And I think the dynamic pricing for WWE has come back to bite them, because again, if you cannot keep that product hot, you have to be smart and understand what your audience is into, where your audience is at. You have to be cognizant. You cannot be in a bubble. You have to be always cognizant of where your audience is at as far as hot or cold on your product. And it's clear in the past 6 months, based off of, you know, the failure, or I should say the disappointment of the John Cena. I want to say failure, because he sold out arenas, sold out stadiums in his final tour as a heel and whatnot. So again, I'm just going to say that did not meet the expectations both you and I and a lot of other people set out for. But I will say this again, with the product itself cool right now, it would have made sense that they just had better pricing for it so they could get people in those seats so they could spend money while they're there.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be somebody at TKO that understands economics, right? I mean, it's simple supply and demand, and if people aren't demanding to see your product, then you got a big problem, WWE. You know, do you think, Gerald, do you think that they're overlooking this Mania?
Well, I know this. Well, first of all, WrestleMania in Las Vegas last year wasn't supposed to be in WrestleMania in Las Vegas last year. You remember it was taken away from New Orleans because for whatever financial reasons, Las Vegas threw some cash at them. It did exceedingly well in the specific weekend. It was in, I think it hit Easter weekend, which is normally a less than average weekend for Las Vegas. So yeah, it really hit all the right numbers. And they thought, let's go back to the well one more time and set up, because they're obviously looking for the great payday next year in Saudi Arabia. But I still think they should have put London on the map. They need, you know, we talk about London All In. London and All In, whatever they get, 40, 50, 60, 70,000, whatever they get, is going to be a litmus test for what a WrestleMania can do over a two-night period. I really think that they still should look towards London as a city that they need to go ahead and invest money. If they're investing money in going into Saudi Arabia, and I know that they probably won't fill that up like we saw at the Royal Rumble, it makes sense to go ahead and look at that venture as well. Going back to the same place, Las Vegas, even though I'm from Las Vegas and I appreciate the you know, everybody coming in and spending their money in Las Vegas, thank you for doing so. It's just clear it's so hard to go back and do the same thing you did last year in the same place you did last year.
You know, that's a good point, and I never thought of it that way, that this is probably the first time, maybe the second time, because Atlantic City, you know, four and five were at Atlantic City. But besides that, I can't name another WrestleMania that was back-to-back in the same city besides Vegas and Atlantic City. And weird that they're both gambling places.
Weird, indeed. I'm not sure if that was the only reason, but yeah,
no,
definitely.
I'm sure.
I'll say this again. This was, I think, a gap year for WWE in the sense that, yeah, they were looking to go ahead and they didn't really have an answer, an alternative. I still, again, would have just said London for me, because I really think London would go over huge for WWE WrestleMania. That's from what I'm seeing and I'm observing from how they travel in Europe to what AEW does in Europe, and that they are the more well-known product than AEW. So again, I just would have said I would have seen what, and London wants it. The mayors wanted WWE WrestleMania for years, and they've just been resisted to do so because they haven't gotten, I guess, the money figure in advance. And I think that's all that it comes down to. Sometimes the WWE, from what I'm seeing, they just see what's up front, the upfront cost, the upfront cash, and they just look at that sometimes without seeing the bigger picture, my friend. I think that's where we're at with the Endeavor, the TKO, WWE of today, is sometimes they will just grab the quick cash, whether it's through a TV contract, whether it's through a site contract, what have you, and they'll see that instead of sometimes seeing the bigger picture or long-term picture for what it might do to their audience.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think playing that long game is, playing that long game, even in booking matches, it works much better than if we're just, you know, trying to quickly jumpstart something. And I feel that's the same way here, just as you mentioned, you know, they don't look at the bigger picture for the economics of things. They look at the short term, we'll take the cash and go. And that's how we ended up in this situation where we have less than, what you would say, roughly less than 50% capacity at the Allegiant Stadium.
I agree, my friend. So again, when it comes right down to it, I think that they made a calculated error, and as far as what they thought they could do, what they thought they could get, I really think that they should have looked other places to go ahead, and they would have made, I think, a little bit more coming out of it, plus a lot of goodwill if they would have done it somewhere other than Las Vegas. And I'm saying this being in Las Vegas, John.
Yeah.
And, I would love to have I'd love to have 120,000 people again spending all their money. And the fact is, I am grateful for the fact that Las Vegas is going to be having such a great amount of people still coming in to Las Vegas, and all this money coming in. It's great for the local economy. We need it very much. Absolutely. Cannot say no to it. But again, if we take a step objectively and look and see, was this the right move for WWE? Obviously, by the difference in the response and the anticipation for this year's WWE WrestleMania, you know, rather than what we saw last year, I think there's a clear difference, and it's not going in the right direction.
No, it is not. And, you know, when we, you know, I know in a few minutes we're going to start talking about matches, and some of these matches, I don't consider them to be WrestleMania worthy. I think that they are much more of a Raw or SmackDown caliber matches, but I digress. We'll get into that shortly here. But yeah, I mean, but I can't say anything more than you've already said about the economics of these tickets and the pricing of WWE events and whatnot. I'm in total agreement with you, Gerald.
What do you guys think about what's going on with the WWE and WrestleMania leading up to this year's WrestleMania? Would you have liked to have seen it in a different location? Where would have you liked to have seen it? Again, I'm very grateful that it's here, but you could clearly see the advance for this year's WrestleMania as opposed to last year's WrestleMania. The anticipation and the excitement for it, it's just not the same. So let me know your thoughts about WrestleMania when you get a chance on the PVD cast or right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos indeed. But my friend, there's still much more to talk about when it concerns the lead up to WrestleMania. And that's the reason why there's not as many people as excited for what's upcoming for WrestleMania. So your thoughts on some of the announced or looks like targeted matches for this year's WrestleMania. CM Punk versus Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton, Stephanie Vaquer versus Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley versus Jade Cargill, Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar, as of this recording, have been the matches that have been announced and already signed for what we're seeing. For me, it's a lot of the same old, same old.
Yeah.
Again, I've told you ad nauseum, I'd like something different. I'd like to see a Javon Evans or an LA Knight, especially an LA Knight, be put in that spot to see what you could do, but they refuse to do so. And Chelsea Green would love to see what kind of opportunity she can make for herself, but no. And with the absolutely ridiculous turn by B-Fab and Meechan for some unknown reason, nobody knows the reason. Okay. You don't like jobbing to Jade Cargill, so the next week you go ahead and you align yourself with Jade Cargill, and it just makes absolutely no sense. Whoever wrote that up needs to go ahead and turn in their books. Needs to turn in their books. Needs to turn in their paper. They need to go. Okay, you don't explain anything. It's like you took an entire chapter out of the story on that. So yeah, be that as it may, it's just. Again, and you wonder why that they're not getting as many people here coming as they did last year. So I'll just leave it with you, my friend. Your thoughts on the WrestleMania card going so far, and what changes would you have made in it so far, my friend?
Well, first of all, Punk and Reigns is probably going to be a good match, but I'm not excited for it because I've seen it 100 times.
And they keep calling each other old and whatnot.
Stop it.
Is that the best you can do on two of the best orators in the WWE? And that's the best you can do. You're old.
Yeah, I have not enjoyed their promos. Vaquer and Liv Morgan is probably going to be good. But I'm not really super, super excited about that either. I think I'm kind of burned out on Liv Morgan. Just, you know, I know she's just come back. She hasn't been back very long, but I'm kind of already tired of her. Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar, I think, is the one shining star in this lineup because it's something different. It's something that I think is going to lead to some heavy hitting. I hope that they keep it to a minimum time limit, like 8 minutes or something. Don't let Obafemi, the new guy, don't let him work a 20-minute match. There's no reason for that.
7 minutes tops, 5 minutes probably better. Plus, yeah, Brock is going to be gasping now at his age.
Yeah,
he's no longer the guy that you think he was back 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Exactly. One match that has been rumored that I think would really steal the show is Julia versus Io Sky. That there's been a lot of conversation, a lot of chatter about that. And I think that would be an awesome matchup. I would certainly make sure that was in the cards, if you will, if I was booking WrestleMania. And then the other possible match I read about, Gunther versus Rey Mysterio, which I think we've all been waiting for that one to come because the whole retirement angle when it comes to Gunther, who's retiring all these people, Rey has been open about wanting to wrap things up. And, you know, since Gunther's been feuding with Dragon Lee, who is the heir apparent to Rey Mysterio's crown, so to speak, it all makes sense. And I think they would have a good match. But yeah, it's just like Cody and Orton. I'm not really caring about it. AJ Lee and Becky Lynch. Okay. They all of these have titles. But it goes to show everybody has a title. I just, when I was making my notes, I'm like, so I mean,
as I told you, my friend, a Monday champion and a Friday champion.
Yeah,
that's what we're down to.
It's ridiculous, but I don't know. Some other things I think I would have. One other thing, if I was booking.
Well, by the way, if you go to an AEW match, or if you go to an AEW show, they hand out the belts to you at the door. Just to let you know.
Great, because I want to get that national title to add it to my collection.
There you go. There you go.
Anyways, I would have somehow figured out a way to highlight Javon Evans and his athleticism by that some four-way dance for a future title shot or something along those lines. Get him in there. Get maybe one of the Fraxium guys to get in there. Just get a bunch of high flyers and let them just put them out there first and let them go, you know, for lack of a better term, balls to the wall, high impact, high stakes, lots of crazy moves. Get people into that show by presenting some of the more high-flying action, if you will. That's how I would start things off if I was booking WrestleMania.
Well, there you go. Again, for me, I think somehow incorporating what people are asking for with Chelsea Green and then LA Knight, you know, before he actually just the push dies or the crowd reception dies, because the crowd, how could the crowd stay behind him if they just don't seem to continually have plans for him? Do something with LA Knight at a higher level would be just absolutely fantastic. But again, I already think that ship has sailed when it comes to LA Knight, or I'm starting to think that ship has sailed when it comes to LA Knight as well. But Chelsea Green, after the controversy behind the scenes, make something out of it. Make something out of it. Do something with it. You have all this notoriety that's going on behind the scenes when it concerns her. Make something with it. Give her push. Jade Cargill, as great an athlete as she is, as fantastic a look that she has, the fact that she just has it in a lot of people's eyes and in mind as well. I thought she carries herself in such a great manner. It's just not worked as champion. It's not worked with Tiffany Stratton. It's not worked so far. None of these ladies have moved the needle. Give Chelsea Green an opportunity to go ahead and run with it. But you already trashed her by jobbing her out along with half of the women's roster on the SmackDown side against Jade Cargill. So again, who is there left? Sol Ruka? You know, I don't know. It's getting at this point, it's just becoming harder and harder to see, you know, the mistakes as far as weeding through the mistakes that the WWE has made booking wise to find stuff that will really get an audience going at a higher level, my friend.
What about pairing up Matt Cardona with his wife? Like, what a better scenario.
Why aren't you pairing in AAA as the mixed tag team champions? Why?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's where I was going with this. I was like, they could be a really good tandem, whether it's in intergender matches or whether it's Cardona at ringside when Chelsea has a match or whatever. You have a built-in story right there. And by that, I mean that it's kind of believable because everybody knows they're married. I say that because I don't really buy everything that was on that Netflix show. What's it called? I forget now.
Unreal. Yeah. Unreal. And again, you could go as far as you want with that one, because again, I haven't watched it. I've seen clips from it, and I think that's all I need to see from it. Because again, like you said, it's working the work. When you're trying to make it a shoot as something, it just does not seem like it's something that if you've been watching and observing for many years, you're not going to take it for its face value.
Right. Exactly. And so I don't anything that's broadcast on that show, I don't care about. I pay no attention. Like you, I see a clip or two and I'm like, okay, we're moving on, because I don't believe that that's actually that person's opinion or how this whole thing worked. It was produced, as far as I'm concerned. But back to Chelsea Green, totally, yes, I totally agree that having her do something, because the fans like her, even though she's supposed to be a heel, the fans get behind her, the fans enjoy her, they cheer for her. And I mean, she could be, I hate to use the comparison, but she could be like Danhausen. If they just let, which I'm surprised, I'm surprised and also relieved that they're kind of leaving Danhausen alone, because I think there's a lot that they can do with him if they just let him do things by himself.
Yeah, I know that the original showcase for him at Elimination Chamber was awful, but Dave Meltzer going on the public waves calling him the gobbledygooker of 2026, paraphrasing, but he said gobbledygooker, I think was a little bit too far, and they proved him wrong. He's not corrected himself by doing it, because they have utilized him better. He is selling merchandise at a great level. His number one merchandise seller right now are his shirts, and people seem to be into his act now after such a dead start. So again, you know, when you say these things and you say these shock things, just correct yourself when you're wrong. Just say, you know what, I'm in it. The WWE found a way around the bad start, and they were able to go ahead and get it done. And Danhausen, give him all the respect in the world. You know, it's great where he's doing now. We'll see what happens when he gets into the ring. That's going to be a very interesting proposition. That it could kill his character or make his character. We don't know. But again, what they're doing right now is a whole lot better than what they have been doing with him as far as his initial start is concerned. I'll just leave it at that. But again, my friend, there's so many things that they could do differently heading up into WrestleMania. I'm just very sad that they haven't. But again, if I find the right deal at the right price, I may still want to go. I may still want to go because it looks like it'll be easier to go than last year. Last year was just like, I got turned down left and right, looking for tickets, looking for decent tickets, look for comps, because they were at a premium. That premium is not there this year.
Yeah, and you know, I was just thinking too when you were talking about that, that, you know, another thing that I would certainly incorporate, if we can go back to that, if I was booking WrestleMania, is I certainly would incorporate some of the NXT talent in the AAA talent as well. Again, giving something different. There's plenty of storylines that are going on, I'm sure, in AAA, and I know there are in NXT, that you could bring those up to the main stage. I'm not saying all of them. Just pick one. All right? Pick one. You know, it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like in the Royal Rumble, where you get the one, you know, throwback, one legend, the one surprise you didn't expect. And so, there you go. Just give one AAA match and one NXT match, and then you have something different on those shows.
Now, I am surprised that they're not doing an NXT show in Las Vegas. That's the only thing that they're not doing in Las Vegas is an NXT show for that week. And mind you, there's smaller venues. They don't have to put in a 7,000-8,000 seat arena where they're struggling already to find people that want to go to SmackDown and Raw. That's, I get that. I understand that. But they could have put that in a smaller, the Cox Pavilion, where they put the AAA thing last year. That's only 3,000-4,000 people, and you could fill that up for an NXT match. I think that was a mistake on their own as far as to not being able to put them out there on a very important week. It's always good to have all your talent there in the best week for the WWE to present itself. So again, I agree with you. NXT should have been promoted either on WrestleMania or in its own card a little bit more prominently from Las Vegas, but it seems like the fact that they're not even putting out a WWE card in Las Vegas is just like they're giving up on NXT being able to be any kind of draw for that week. So that's kind of disappointing from there. But again, it is Las Vegas, the WrestleMania 42 card. It's coming together. But it, you know, is there any more, I guess, suggestions that you'd like to put into there before we head on to other parts of the show?
No, I'm just going to say that I think that this, so far, this lineup is very bland. All right. That's the best way I can describe it. You know, as I said, just a little while ago, a lot of these matches I would say would be great main events for SmackDown or Raw, but I don't know if they have the same allure, if you will, for WrestleMania.
Well, we'll see. But if you guys have any thoughts on WrestleMania leading up to the big event, WrestleMania 42, please let us know at the PVD cast and, of course, the Pop Culture Cosmos as well. 1.5 hour down, 1.5 hour to go here on the State of Pro Wrestling for March and April. It is John Orlando, the legend himself from the cast, also as well, Matt Talk, where they talk about a lot of good things on Matlock. And along with me, Gerald Glassford, thanks again for watching, listening. Before we get into our going back on the Wayback Machine, talking about WrestleMania, as far as our favorite cards, our favorite matches, which WrestleMania we think is the best. I don't want to say which one's the worst, because that's like a long list. We could be here like 5 hours, which is the worst WrestleMania. So, and I attended one of them, at least one of them. I will say that of the two I've attended to. So I'll just say this. Let's get into AEW.
Okay.
AEW Revolution at the Crypto.com Arena. Good crowd for them. 14,000 plus, I believe, was 16,000 maybe even that they covered as far as external. Great crowd. Sure, great response. I don't want to, again, it just hurts me to say differently for what Dave Meltzer says. Because again, as I told you, I followed him so in my younger years so passionately as far as what his work was doing. But I cannot say that this was the best pay-per-view card possibly of all time, is what he reiterated or alluded to, paraphrasing that he said. It was a good one and spots, but the main event I think is getting a lot of people just back and forth on, because to me it was a one match card for me, as far as nothing else I was interested in seeing. None of the other names in the matches they were in I was interested in seeing. I didn't care about FTR and the Young Bucks, watching them wrestle for the 17th straight time or 17th time, whatever, how many times that they've wrestled. I didn't care about Thekla as a AEW world champion for the women's. I didn't care about Willow Nightingale and the TV title. I didn't care about the AEW women's tag team title. I didn't care about any of the other things that were going on with AEW. And that's the fault of the booking. Make me care about what you're doing. And I just don't. It just does not seem very interesting. They can have great 2.5-3-star matches. They can go have their party matches, which are really good at times. And I will give them kudos on that. There was actually a good party match, 6-man tag team match here on the card. It was really good. But should that have been on Dynamite instead of on AEW Revolution? I'll let you be the judge on that one. But AEW Revolution was defined by one match, and that was MJF versus Adam Page, Hangman Adam Page, for the AEW World title. I guess the stipulation is that now, if with the loss, Hangman Page can never challenge for the AEW title again. So take with that what you will, my friend. But it was the violence that was there. And you and I come back from a background of watching hardcore matches, watching brawls, watching ECW for so many years. And I think ECW doesn't hold a candle to what the extreme amount of violence that they do on these type of matches in AEW, because getting out a hypodermic needle again, but making sure this time you could put it through the cheek of your opponent and then go ahead and make sure you dispense with the liquid inside just for a sight gag. It's, you know, I don't get it. I don't know why. And then, you know, just doing the skewers on top of your world champion, who you, if you're world champion and you want to make yourself presentable and marketable to Hollywood and whatnot, why are you putting like 50 skewers on top of your head and letting that picture show out to you? So your thoughts, my friend, on AEW Revolution. Again, it didn't sicken me the way that when Hangman spit into blood into the mouth of Swerve Strickland the last time they were there. It didn't seem like it was more organic hatred like Toni Storm and Mariah May, which, okay, they had a very brutal match, but I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it because of the hatred that they were portraying on each other. It just came across. This just seemed violence for the sake of violence, because coming in, they did seem like these two guys hated each other enough to go ahead and do what they wanted to do to each other. So that's what makes it count too as well. Have the passionate, you know, to fire to go ahead and justify what you're doing in these type of matches and the hardcore element of it. And with Swerve Strickland, Hangman, Adam Page, okay, you burn the house down or you threaten the kids, whatnot. Okay, then I could see, then it gets to the point where, okay, whatever you're going to do to each other, I have to take it for some of what it's worth. This time it just seemed like, okay, let's figure out a way to do some really cool spots that in your mind to really do some hardcore stuff that'll take care of that segment of the audience, that AEW audience, which, you know what, credit to them, they're getting what they like.
I'm just going to say this. I think my first statement that I wrote down on my notes says it all. It says, I'm disappointed with MJF. I cannot believe that he let somebody talk him into doing this. Because as you pointed out, he has been, since day one, he has been the classy world champion. The guy in the $3,000 suits with the diamond rings and the nice watches. He would never, ever stoop to this level. If you had somebody that was of that aura, if you will, they would never say, yeah, sure, let's go into a match where you're going to stick a bunch of weird objects in my orifices and what. No, no. Flair would have never done this. Even back in the day, he would never have done this. And many of us would consider him, and I think it's not any shock or big controversy, to be one of the greatest in the looks of what a champion should be like. And MJF just kind of went along with this. I don't know who pitched the idea. I hope it wasn't MJF, but I can't believe he went for it. You're right. Everything you've said is correct. It's violence for violence. There's no point to it. The build for this match was not very good because, again, I'm going to say it, Adam Page is not the greatest wrestler in the world. I know that AEW fans are going to be shocked by me saying that, and they're
he's
probably
just not for a casual fan or a fan that wants to buy his guy that you say, okay, I really think he should be at that level. I mean, if he were in the WWE tomorrow, I would think he would be a mid to lower mid card guy. It's just that simple.
Yeah, agreed. And so I just don't understand why they had to do this, because again, it doesn't have that same sense of urgency and hatred, as you said, to borrow your terms. Now I have to ask, where do we go from now? Where do we go from here with MJF?
Well, again, you're just buying time, John. You're just buying time. You're finding him an opponent for a month until it leads up to Will Ospreay, where he drops the title, which I don't agree with, but it's going to happen. You can already see it. Again, we talked about this last year. We talked about this the year before. The fact that you have Will Ospreay, who at one time, you know, is still by many is thought of as the greatest wrestler on the planet as far as, you know, aesthetically, whatnot. He does some amazing things, does some tremendous things in there. You know, and you spend a lot of money on bringing him. You cater to his, you know, he could fly in and out of the country. He doesn't stay here, doesn't live here in the United States. He lives abroad. They travel him in and out. Okay, you're spending all this money on him. And now that he's back, it is going to, as long as barring any health issues, it's going to lead up into what we have talked about now for 2 years, John. And that is him winning the title, the world title, in London. It's just that simple. It's inevitable. So right now it just seems like in my mind, as much as I appreciate and love MJF for what he is and who he is, I'm kind of disappointed to see, okay, if he had a burning hatred for Page, if those guys had some kind of really big feud going where they were just tearing each other apart or things happened leading up to it, I would have kind of said, you know what, I could warm up more to the idea of them going all out in that Texas death match, but I couldn't. It just did not seem like going in. This is just a world title match with a gimmick on the top of it, and it was supposed to be Adam Page's gimmick, and just like Cactus Jack, you know, false count anywhere match. This was his gimmick, and he lost his gimmick, and now he lost a chance to go ahead and tie. It just, for me, it was like, it was there. It was there. And again, it was something where you didn't need to go and do the things that you needed to do. But I think at this point in time, I now, and it's very sad, John, that I view MJF now as a placeholder for what's to come. Because again, you have to at some time pay off on that investment on Will Ospreay. It's financially, if you and I are bankrolling this and we're paying the money, we're kind of paying Will Ospreay. And you know, MJF probably around that time will probably have some other gig in Hollywood he'll want to go ahead and do. you have to go ahead and make the move, despite the fact that ratings are a little better. The outlook for the company is a little better. And kudos to them for that. And a lot of that is due to MJF. But I do think, again, it's very sad that I'm starting to think of MJF as a placeholder until you get to Will Ospreay.
Well, and then let's put the shoe on the other foot, so to speak, and let's talk about what they might do with Will to try to build him. I mean, there has been inklings, there has been rumors about possibly Moxley and Ospreay doing a short program. I like that idea. I'm not gonna crap on it. I think it's a good idea because John Moxley's held many titles. He is seen, whether you agree with it or not, but he is seen as a major player on the roster of AEW.
I'm not Jim Cornette, where who just hates, you know, whether he does realistically or does it for show, just cannot stand anything that John Moxley does. I'm not that point with John Moxley. He is who he is, and he is, like you said, because of his what he earned in the WWE, he has earned the right to be considered one of the top individuals in AEW. I could not disagree with you on that, John.
Yeah, and so, okay, if we're going to do this, my only little footnote to this is I feel like, number one, it's got to be a short run, and Will's got to go over and look good going over on Moxley. And that means you can't do any crazy hardcore matches either, which we know Moxley likes to do. Again, if this is a short program that's going to just get us the bridge from now to All In, there's not going to be that opportunity, as we've talked about with MJF and Page, to build any type of absolute blood vendetta for these two. And it doesn't need it. It doesn't need it. Ospreay's talented enough. He doesn't need to do the hardcore stuff. Moxley is also, I'm going to say it as well, I think he is a talented wrestler. But he likes to do the hardcore stuff, and I don't think that that's the way to go. But I do like this idea. I think that they, you know, it seems like they are interested in bringing Pac in on this as well. Pac and Ospreay have, of course.
So you're going to see Pac first, and then you're going to see him go through. Yeah, this is all setting him up, leading him to getting back to what's going to go on in London. That's all. We're waiting for the inevitable, John.
Right, and like I said, if he starts with Pac and then he has to go through Claudio and then he has to finally go through Mox, great. That all three of those individuals, Pac, Claudio, and Moxley, are proven champions. All right, they've held titles before in AEW and they have the resume and everything. So again, I think it's smart if we have Ospreay do that. Now, here's where I'm going to turn negative. Hopefully we don't get a start and stop on this like Tony Khan loves to do. We're going to start a storyline, then we're going to stop it, and then we're going to start a storyline, and we're going to stop it. We need to see Ospreay on AEW television either competing or they're doing interviews or doing backstage stuff to continue to keep him in the running to be that individual that goes to Wembley and tries for the title.
I agree. Even though he's not the best interview at times, he is still, again, he fires the crowd up. Again, the AEW crowd is absolutely behind it, and I get it. I understand that. I still think it's best for your long term if you put it on MGF for an extended run again, but I know that I can already see what's going to go on. So I say, you know what? Okay, and you spent this kind of money on him. You've given him everything that you wanted to contractually that he wanted. So like, you got to go ahead and see how it looks. That's the only thing he has yet to do in his AEW career is an AEW world title run. And can he take the company to a higher level? And if he can't, then I think you know where you stand. You just take the title off him. Then when his contract comes up, you say, okay, hey, you were at that level. You were given that opportunity. You didn't get it done. And you could say bad booking and things of that nature, but sometimes, yeah, it is also bad booking. And we could say that sometimes it's the characters themselves. Like, for instance, you talked about Paige when he's been a multi-time AEW champion. It just hasn't worked. Part because of booking, but just part because he just is not credible enough as a champion to get a larger base over with, you know, as far as that's concerned. So again, we're Strickland. Even to an extent, Samoa Joe, you know, okay, these guys are just, they're good, they're solid, they're veterans, they can bring great matches to you, but they just can't get the product into a different place. You have two options now. You have MJF and Will Ospreay to get you into a higher realm with AEW. That's it. Those are your two marketable champions possibilities. Nobody else on the roster I can see right now can bring AEW to a larger level, to a broader audience. I'm not talking about the hardcores. I'm talking about the broader you and I and everybody else that watches pro wrestling or could watch pro wrestling audience. And this is the time you do it with Will Ospreay. And if he can't get it done, if those numbers don't move in the right direction, then you need to note that come renegotiation time. Because he's already talked so much trash about the WWE, he can't go there, or he doesn't want to go there. And Japanese wrestling, the Japan wrestling, is not what it once was as far as lucrative money is concerned. So, you know, this is a year, very important year for Will Ospreay in more than one way at this point in time.
And I'm going to throw out two things. One, he needs to recognize that this is a critical year for him and his career, and he needs to start thinking a little bit about all these giant bumps that were taken. You know, there's no reason to be in a tag team match in Poughkeepsie, New York, and take a gigantic bump out of the ring onto your opponent. There's no need. It's Poughkeepsie, with all due respect. Save that for All In. He's got to start wising up and start realizing that, as they say, and so many expert wrestlers say it, you only have so many bumps on your bump card. His might be coming a little bit short, if you know what I mean. And you're right. Ospreay and MJF are the only two individuals that can widen out the audience. But what about Ronda Rousey, though, Gerald?
She's not involved. She's not involved. They didn't sign her to a contract. Why is she there? Why did she come up on the, you know, again, what purpose did it serve? Maybe to sell the Netflix pay-per-view for her? But what did that do for AEW? What realistically? Nothing. And Tony Storm's gone. Tony Storm is out for several weeks, recovering from injuries. You had this thing where Tony Storm and Ronda Rousey had this dust up, and nothing is going to come out of it. You know, Tony Storm is not coming out every week bad mouthing Ronda Rousey, so that Ronda Rousey has moved on and is getting ready for her fight with Gina Carano. It served no purpose other than just a payday for Ronda Rousey. That's all it did. And she's not contracted with AEW. She might be down the line. She might, after this fight, might consider going to AEW, because, you know, she has fun with Marina Shafir and her four horsewomen and all that stuff like that. But for right now, when you look back on it, John, I just don't know the purpose why it was served.
That's exactly the same thing that I thought. I'm like, what? Why are we doing this? Why? Just to promote a fight? Which, by the way, that fight's what, in the middle of May? Like, I understand you need to get a head start on your promoting things, but man, it's a little early to be starting that.
Is she coming back? Is she going to do interviews? Again, if she doesn't do any follow up to this in the next 2-3 months, why did you do it?
Yeah. Well, you say that a lot with AEW. Why did you do this?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And again, I hate to be AEW bashing all the time. I have been in many ways since the start, but again, it's brought us some good things. It brought the revival of Cody Rhodes, or at least got Cody Rhodes to the point where you saw excitement for him when he went to WWE. You saw what happened with CM Punk when he was there, and he gave him life. Where is he now? So Jade Cargill, where is she now? You know, it's done a lot of good, AEW has, but for the WWE. At some point, the AEW, you know, they're doing pretty good now. It's still, they're not what they were when they started. If you go back to when they were started, they were above a million people watching it every week on TV. That has faded away to about 600,000-700,000, which is still good because they were less. But there's people that there's still arenas that they're selling out, and credit to them for that. And there's still a crowd that clamors for what they're doing. So credit to them for that. They have a different style, a different way of showing things. It's more athletic based. It's more aesthetic base, but storyline wise, it leaves a lot to be desired for a lot of people, John. And that's ultimately why they're going to probably remain number two for quite some time.
And again, I'll repeat it. I've said it 1,000 times on the show. The more places the men and women of the wrestling world can work, the better it is for everybody. Whether it's AEW, WWE, TNA, or their local independents, the more options, the better.
So before we head it out, my friend, I thought we'd go down memory lane another time. It is, go ahead, on a cheerier note. You know, because AEW bashing is, I feel bad in doing so because, again, like you said, it's we're doing it on another business place or another way to go ahead and, you know, earn money for these hardworking men and women that make up the professional wrestling industry. So before we head on out, my friend, I wanted to go ahead and reminisce on your WrestleMania moments. I mean, I've told you in the past, I've been to WrestleMania here in Vegas when it was at Caesars, and I've also been to Anaheim. I barely remember that one. I've told you my emotional reasons why. And I will just say that, you know, there's a lot of memories that I've seen on TV that will always fascinate me and I will always remember and cherish forever. So with that, my friend, the WrestleMania card and WrestleMania match that you have most fondness for, my friend, before we head on out.
My favorite WrestleMania moment that I hold near and dear to my heart is when I went to WrestleMania 22 in Chicago, because the reason why, as a little kid, I always wanted to go to WrestleMania. I always wanted to go. And, you know, fast forward to 2007, I got that opportunity. And so, you know, it wasn't a bad card. It was a pretty decent card. There was some crappy stuff on there, but you know, you had Edge versus Foley. You had RVD in that Money in the Bank match. One of the great three-way matches, Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, and Randy Orton. That was really good. But it was just the opportunity to go to WrestleMania. I went with one of my best friends, so it was a cool trip for both of us to make. And, that's my favorite Mania, you know, is 22.
And your favorite match of all time?
I'm sticking with my guns. Steamboat Savage. I really enjoyed it. The pacing, the story behind it, because you know, Savage had injured the larynx of Ricky Steamboat. How dare he? And there was even the little dust up with Bruno in the back, you know, which captivated me. Just WrestleMania 3, that match just for me it's on my list of favorite matches of all time. But it's definitely also WrestleMania's.
Well, I can tell you how, because something similar as far as my favorite cards, I'm going to have to put it like in a tie, because I remember WrestleMania 3 to this day. And what I did, we all gathered around my friend's house to watch it on pay-per-view, and just to see from the little transistor TV that they were showing it on. It just how the crowd, just to see that type of crowd, and I had never ever in my life at that point in time had seen such a large crowd for a wrestling event, and I was just so happy to see professional wrestling get to that point. And the spectacle of, when we talk about spectacle of professional wrestling, I don't think you can get any better for its time as a spectacle than WrestleMania 3. As an overall card, I would probably put the Houston Astrodome WrestleMania X7 as the number one because of match quality, because of Rock versus Steve Austin, the McMahon Street fight, the TLC match for Edge and Christian, the Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit match, Chris Jericho versus William Regal. Those were all really solid. And then, of course, like I said, Rock and Steve Austin. My favorite match, could you say it's Bret Hart versus Steve Austin in Chicago? Could you say it's Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage? I would say either one of those great, but you also mentioned Edge versus Foley, and Edge versus Foley as a Mick Foley mark, and to see him in the Cactus Jack outfit performing on that venue, probably the last. Between that and the Orton match, probably the last great matches he was ever going to be a part of. I would probably say the Edge Foley match was probably the one that I looked towards to the most. Again, for spectacle, Hogan versus Andre. But again, as a match, if you looked at it, it's not that pleasant to watch. But as a spectacle, you could say Hogan Andre. But or you could go to Hogan Rock, or you go to Hogan Warrior. You know, as just again, just the sheer build up and anticipation. You know, for those matches. Again, I there's just so many things to choose when it comes to WrestleMania. You know, talk about the Undertaker and the streak ending. Yeah, just so many things you would want to go ahead and say and do. But I'd probably say Edge versus Foley, just because, yes, and we talked about, we're not trying to be hypocritical when we say hardcore. I just say there's a limit to where I want to see hardcore before it gets to the point where it's just like, is that really necessary? And they didn't cross that line. Flaming Tables doesn't cross that line for me, because we've seen it now numerous times, or thumbtacks or stuff like that. We've seen it numerous times. That's fine. You know, as far as across, but when you go through hypodermic needles and skewers in the guy's head, that's just a little bit beyond of what I was saying. It's just, at this point, it just becomes, okay, I'm going to let you do something to me, as opposed to I'm going to resist you doing something to me, and then it gets done anyway. So again, for me, Edge versus Foley would be probably my number one.
Edge versus Foley and many of those ECW hardcore matches told a story. That's the difference to me between a hardcore match and a death match. You know, that's the deal. Is I feel like it's there's a story behind it that is super important, and there's a reason why we're having this hardcore match with tables or chairs or kendo sticks, and not, you know, oh, hey, these two guys just want to fight each other, and they're going to use cement blocks and thumbtacks and light tubes and all the jazz, you know. So to me, that's my difference. So, but yeah, Foley and Edge. I actually thought about Rock Hogan too, putting it on my list, because that environment was crazy for that match. I remember watching it at my buddy's house, and I couldn't believe it. So, but I'm still sticking with the old tried and true Steamboat Savage.
There you go. And again, this past WrestleMania, the three-way match for the ladies, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and Io Sky, that is probably the best WrestleMania match I have seen in a long time. And please, no one sell that short, because those ladies really worked hard in that match, and that it shouldn't be discounted at all. Again, just a sensational match. But yes, if you have any WrestleMania memories that you'd love to share with us, please let us know in the comments below or on the PVD cast or at popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, it's a great episode. Please follow John Orlando at the PVD cast and also Matt Talk, where he's covering everything Matlock. I know you've got some great shows lined up. Want to drop any knowledge real quickly on what's going on with your shows before we head on out?
Yeah, you know, right now for the PVD cast, as we're talking right here, I just talked to a gentleman by the name of Corey, who runs a wonderful YouTube channel called Wilkie's Movies and Music, where he does a lot of different programming, all revolving around those two things. We have a great conversation about movies and music, obviously, but we also tap into physical media, because Corey's a big fan of that genre of electronics and technology. So it's really fun. It's over at pvdcast.com. So, or wherever you find great podcasts, you can find it there as well. And Matt Talk is this wacky little podcast that I do with my partner Jason Taylor. We talk about Matlock, the old 90s TV show with Andy Griffith. We watch an episode, we review it, we then dissect it, talk about it, poke fun at it a little bit. And I can't believe, Gerald, we're almost done with that, because we are in season 7 and there's only 2 more seasons left. So we may be maybe just a year away from being done with that project.
You may have to go actually to Matt Talk, where you're talking about wrestling on that show. Indeed. But once again, it is John Orlando. Please go ahead and support him today at the pvdcast.com and also Matt Talk as well. Well, my friend, it has been great having you here once again. When we come back on the show next month, we'll go ahead and recap WrestleMania and our thoughts leading out of it. I did want to also mention to everyone out there, next week marks the 500th week of the pop culture cosmos. 500 straight consecutive weeks of bringing you the best in pop culture. We are going to hopefully do something special for you guys out there. So hopefully you get a chance to check that out. But I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, John, thanks so much for being a great friend and a great supporter of what we're doing here at the Cosmos and the State of Pro Wrestling as well, my friend.
And congratulations to you. I mean, 500 weekly episodes. It's like, if I may use an analogy, it's like Cal Ripken. You're like the Iron Man of podcasting.
Again, it's just been something where we've been very lucky. I just enjoy doing it. You know, just talking about pro wrestling, talking about pop culture. These are the things I really enjoy doing on a daily basis. Talking about sports and the Lakers, I love doing that as well. So again, these are the things I enjoy doing, and I'm glad I could bring it to you. I'm glad that John can bring it to you, and I'm glad we can bring it to you all right here on the State of Pro Wrestling from the PVD Cast, Matt Talk, and the Pop Culture Cosmos as well. So for John Orlando, this is Gerald Glassford. We're tagging out. We already got the pin. We're going ahead and we finished our promos. We already talked trash on all of our opponents. We're looking to go ahead and head on out and go on the road to WrestleMania. We're looking forward to it, and hopefully you are as well. But we'll be back next month to recap WrestleMania and what goes on next, only from your friends right here at the State of Pro Wrestling. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Gerald and I talking about the state of pro wrestling for March and April. And I always enjoy talking to Gerald about the sport that we both are so passionate about. And you know what? Maybe you agree with some of the statements we made, and maybe you don't agree with them. Let me tell you where you can get in touch with me so you can respectfully, so that you can give us your 2 cents worth. First off, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can leave me a message on the Instagram, Facebook, and Threads accounts. Just look for @pvdcast. And I'm still even on Twitter. Just jump on over to @pvdmvp, which is my personal handle over there. And those are all the different avenues you can use to get in touch with me. But let's talk about, maybe you want to help spread the word about the PVDcast. Well, let's let some folks know where they can find it. And there's a bunch of different ways for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. Just go to your search engine of your favorite podcasting outlet or app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about those podcasting outlets and apps, hey, if you got a minute, please rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. All right, there's one final way that you can check out each episode, and that is through the Facebook page. We're on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little broadcast presenting that week's episode. So there you go. You got 3 ways that you can hear this great podcast. That is, of course, through pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and, of course, also through the Facebook page with the live broadcast on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out this edition of the show. And with that, I will chat in each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.